Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. We're joined today, again, by Joey Pasulo, our new-ish youth director. Thanks for coming in today.
No worries.
New-ish.
Yeah. It's been like two months now.
2 months.
Yeah.
Like, although, by the time this gets out there, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Christmassy sweater because we're just starting.
It's too soon for that for me.
Yeah. But by the time it comes out, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's like mid.
Well, it's next week. It's still before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Anything Christmas before Thanksgiving is a problem.
Well, I'm glad I didn't wear my Christmas tree sweater.
I would be upset.
Yeah.
My sister takes some pictures of her and her kids, like, decorating for Christmas the day after Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right away.
No.
Otherwise, you don't get to enjoy it for long enough.
Joey and I are not on the same page about Christmas anything. Like, we're already debating, like, do we need to do a Santa Claus debate episode for the podcast?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited about that. It's going to be fun. No, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the season in general. So for me,
I love Christmas.
Jump in.
I love Christmas music that's about Jesus. I hate Christmas music that's about snowflakes and Santa and...
Okay. Okay, so like you like the intent behind the religion
yes.
of this
because like Christmas trees are not biblical. And
no,
we'll save that for another conversation for another day.
Yeah, that's another one. That's a whole episode.
So I'm about to like go off.
I love it. No, I'm just saying it needs to happen. But anywho,
yes.
All right, now I think you told me we're in a psalm, and I think you said 88.
Yes. So Joy and I just thought that it would be good to. Like, Con and I have had some conversations on the podcast of just opening scripture and just having a conversation and just seeing where scripture leads us. Yeah. And I just think that's a really valuable thing to do with different people in different contexts, because that's what discipleship is sometimes. It's just opening the Bible and doing it together. And so, and reading it together and talking it through and all of that. So, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and read Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is really interesting because it's one of the lament psalms in scripture. And there are a lot of lament psalms throughout scripture, but this is kind of the most dreary one in the sense that it never has like a turn to praising God that most lament psalms have. And so it's very unique in that respect. And so it's just very heavy the whole time. And so we're just going to talk through that. So I'm reading from the New International Version, the NIV. And if you're reading from any other version, that's fine. And so Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit. In the darkest depths, your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends, and you have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness and destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. So yeah, it's a heavy, heavy psalm. Like
you're
again, like
really
I said, there's
depressing. So bring me on.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there, you know.
So yeah, what are the things that stand out to you initially?
So, like, running through, I think in the beginning, one of the things that initially, like, really jumped, there's an element of, well, first of all, my translation says Sheol in three, which is, like, that, the weird, like, hellscape mind place that exists in Jewish culture, which is very interesting. And I also have Abaddon, And that's not one I'm super familiar with. Are you super familiar with Abaddon?
I'm not super familiar. I think it's a similar idea as Sheol, of a place of death.
We've got the Google machine. Let's just be honest with ourselves. And
yeah, so and like...
See, people who study the Bible sometimes have to look things up.
Do it all the time. This is yeah, because in the NIV, it doesn't say Sheol or Abaddon. In place of Abaddon in verse 11, the NIV says just destruction, but it labels destruction as a capital D. So I think Abaddon is kind of synonymous with destruction, if I know correctly.
Okay, Abaddon. Yeah, destruction, doom in the Greek. So
yeah,
place of destruction, deep abyss, alongside Sheol in the Hebrew Bible. So it's in the same line as Sheol. Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting.
And that's what you can do in the Bible. Like, if you're walking with someone and you see a word or a term you don't know, Google it.
Please. Look things up. And also be honest with yourself.
Yeah, it's okay to not know things. We didn't know that right now, so it's okay to not know things.
But I found that interesting, of just, mm-hmm. like, the NIV taking the concept of the place and then translating it through, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's the destruction place. But the part that jumped to me in it was that it was destruction place where kind of one of those who go into the pit, like those forsaken among the dead, standing in the gate, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand in 5. To me, that's a really interesting turn of like what it means to be in that hellscape, in that hell place of just truly being just cut off from God. Yeah. And that
or
element,
feeling cut off from God.
Yeah. Well, that element being part of what's being explored here, of like, I feel cut off from you, therefore I am in hell.
Yeah,
I feel cut off from you, therefore I am destroyed. I feel abandoned. I feel lost. We've all been there, but I feel like we all have moments where, in life, at some point, where we go through that moment, and they're not. I'm not talking like, you know, the teeny angsty moments, but like the really true.
I've never had those.
Well, I know we've all had those. That's just life. I hear you. I've never had
first world problems.
First world problems. But like the moments where like you lose a friend.
Yeah.
Or you lose a parent, or you lose a grandparent, or you really, you know, feel the weight of death for the first time.
Yeah.
Or feel betrayal for the first time.
Yeah.
Those really, really heavy moments where it's just like, oh, I'm so lost, and I don't feel you at all.
No.
And then in that, the crying out. Like, that's such an important piece of those absolutely abandoned moments. That's such an important piece of the betrayal moment. That's such an important piece of the true suffering moment of, we reach out. We reach out to God and sometimes find ourselves bound deeper to Him, mm-hmm. because of those losses. And that's not a lesson that you want to learn in the moment.
Right.
You know, there's that truth of, if I'm actually in that place, like trying to bring myself back to some of the, like the hardest moments, losing a friend to suicide and being just, or the first time I was betrayed, in those moments, you can't tell me, like, oh, just so you know, Joey, this is really going to bond you to your father, and therefore, it's got a beneficial edge to it. Like, this is a very dark cloud, but silver lining, because I'm going to hit you in the face. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And reasonably, I'm going to hit you in the face, in my opinion. Yes. Like I had a teacher in high school. And he was always like, he's one of my favorite teachers. He was always kind of smiling. And one day he just looked really down, really sad, really despondent. Like, just horrible stuff. And I walked up and I was like, smile, Mr. Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, does that ever work? Has that ever worked once? I want to punch you in the face right now. If I punched you in the face, that would make me smile. And I was just like super taken aback.
Wow.
And had this moment. And like the next day he came up to me and he was like, that was not appropriate.
Yeah.
I made a huge mistake. I'm glad you didn't take it to heart. Like, I watched you just kind of, but I felt horrible and I let my personal life impact that moment.
Yeah.
And I brought it into the classroom and I never should have done that. And I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
But I love this moment in my childhood because it was a real window into, I had no idea what was going on in his life. I still don't. I have no clue what that moment was for him. I don't know what that was, but he was truly suffering. And I walked up and I was like, cheer up, buddy.
Yeah.
And he went, forget you, man. And justifiably so. Yeah. I don't think he did anything wrong. I really don't. I understand, like, his, you can't be a teacher who does that. I get right. that. I yeah. understand that element. But there's a human part in his response in that moment that I think is really, really important and was a great lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Of, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of get the lesson of, I lean on my father more in those truly dark moments. I learn to trust him more mm-hmm. in those truly dark moments. I learn to cry out to him and he answers. And you get that, but you can't get it in the moment. You right. have to get it around the moment. And yeah. hopefully talking about it beforehand makes it a little easier during, and you see it after.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that's jumping off the page to me in this. Yeah. Is that idea of, like, where were you? Mm-hmm. Where were you when X, Y, and Z? And the answer of being, like, right next to you.
Yeah.
Which is really hard. And it's not fun. And yeah. I think that's reflected, too, in the ending.
Yeah.
Because you said at the, like, that moment, you were like, well, and it doesn't really resolve. To me, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I want it to not resolve, because that's not how you feel in those moments. No. And then it ends all resolved and happy.
Yeah.
You go to bed feeling lost.
Terrible. Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what I love about this, is I love that there's an unresolved lament in Scripture. This mm-hmm. is holy, inspired word of God, and it doesn't resolve. And there are days that feel like that. There are weeks, there are months, there are years that feel like that. I have a friend that's going through a terrible time right now, and that's kind of been her whole life, like, is abuse situation after abuse situation after abuse situation, and it's been never-ending. Mm. And when I read this, I can't help but think of that friend. I'm like, this is exactly how that friend feels right now. And so I'm really grateful that that's there, because kind of like what you were saying with your interaction with that teacher of yours, because, like, sometimes... not all, but some Christians will be like, oh, we have God, so we can just pray and our problems will go away. And, like, don't worry about tomorrow. Everything's fine. And it creates this idea that you have to put on a performance of happiness, because that's what is required of the yeah. faith. And this psalm tells us, no, it's okay to have the deep, dark moments where you do not feel resolution.
Yeah.
You do not feel the presence of God. Because what's interesting in this is, like... here, verse 8 or 9, I call to you, Lord, every day. This person feels near death. They're super depressed. They're going through this horrible thing. They think it's God's wrath that's upon them.
Yeah.
But they're still calling to God daily. Mm. There is a faithfulness to that. Yeah. That is really beautiful, of saying, like, even though I'm overwhelmed with troubles, my life draws near to death, you know, despite all these things, they're calling to God daily. And, like, it starts off, you know, Lord, you are the God who saves me. This person's not feeling very saved right now, but they still acknowledge, like, they're telling themselves, the writer is telling himself things that are true about God,
yeah.
even though he does not feel the truth of it right now. Yeah. He's repeating it to himself to remind himself of truth, even though he does not feel any of it right
yeah.
now.
If you're paying attention, that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's an apologetics thing that I think exists in this conversation slightly. In, like, you will often hear people when they're really thinking about it, really yeah. thinking about it. Like, someone's lost in atheism, they're lost in atheism. They start to actually look into it. They start to really think about it. They'll say something. And I just heard there's a dude on TikTok who does, like, debates with people, et cetera, that I've seen. And this morning I watched a video where he was talking about the element of, well, there's an element of this Judaism, Christianity faith where it's like, why would a bunch of people who are Jews suddenly start worshiping a man? That doesn't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that lends a level of credence to it, a level of plausibility to it that's hard to wrestle with and hard to combat. And he goes, and saying all that, I'm still not a Christian yet. And I went, did you hear yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a Christian yet. Yeah. Like, saying all that, I see that there's plausibility in it, but I'm not a Christian yet. And it's like, that's, to me, that screams of longing.
Yeah.
You didn't hear it. You're trying to dismiss it. You're trying to, but I hear what's going on in your brain when you said, I'm not a Christian yet. And that same thing kind of exists in like the sorrow and the cry out of God. Mm. That like, I'm lost and I don't feel your presence in this moment. But the fact that we're crying out anyways shows that like truth of, and he's there, and you are getting something from crying out, or you wouldn't keep doing it, and you are being comforted, even though you can't feel it at the level you want to feel it at, because you're still lost in this.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really hard to watch that from the outside. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to be in it. It's one of the weird sticky wickets of our world, where it's like, oh, that just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why that's a part of the plan. And yet, Lord, I know that you have a plan. And yet, Lord, I know that there's something in there. And I'm still going to talk to you about it and converse with you about it, because I do trust you and that exists. And that can kind of be twisted into what you're talking about, those platitudes.
Yeah.
The, like the simple statements.
The things that aren't actually helpful in the moment.
Yeah.
They're true, but not helpful.
Yeah, well, you know, look at the birds of the field and the lilies of the valley, etc. And I'm not, like, saying Christ was doing that. I genuinely think in that moment when Christ is talking about the look at the birds and look at the lilies, he's describing a situation where if we build that trust muscle to enough and we rely on it enough, we eventually get to a point where we are incapable of worry, because we're so convinced that God has our back, because we've done it over and over and over again, and we've been vaccinized to the point where we are now immune to, I don't have the ability to be as lost as I once was. I can still be sad, I can still be feeling lost, I can still feel like you're not there, but I know you are, because I've seen you so many times, I've relied on you so many times, that I'm getting to a point now where I'm like a bird. Or like a lily, I can't worry as much. I think that that's kind of what's going on there. But you read it at cursory level, and it gets used as almost like an attack. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll worry about finances. The birds and lilies don't. Yep. And they're like, well, I'm not a bird, man. Yeah. I'm not a flower. I can't photosynthesize.
The bank is calling me.
Yeah, like, collectors exist. Yeah. Like, whatever. You know, whatever the horrible
situation. They know where I live.
yeah. And so, like, if you take that surface level reading and you just focus it on that level, it can be you. And then that's what people object to. People object to that because, of course, you should. There's a level of, well, I'm not a flower. I need more than to be rained on in order to survive. Turns out, I'm not a flower. But that's such a...
That sounds like a good memoir title.
Turns out I'm not a flower.
I'm just collecting bad memoir titles. Like, I need to make a list of all the bad memoir titles.
I'm not a flower.
I have a few others I can tell you later.
Oh man, that's very funny. But like, once you understand the deeper truth of, but I am someone who has the ability to cry out to God in those lost moments, and is crying out to God in those lost moments, and to do so and to receive comfort, even if it's not at the level that I hoped it would be at. But I am someone who is able to grasp the truth that God, in his wisdom, is good. Even in the darkest, deepest places, he's good. And he's there.
Yeah.
I am someone who's able to read the truth of Job and accept it and slowly write it on my heart that, like, God's got a bigger plan and he doesn't have to share it with me.
Yeah.
That I continue to accept these truths slowly but surely, and then eventually get to a point where I'm kind of like a flower, in that I'm relying on you for every part of my day.
Yeah.
Good times and bad. It's all yours. And like, the hanging end is really beautiful, in that that's kind of the option in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How are you going to take it?
Yeah.
You know, how are you as the reader going to go forward from here? Are you going to fall deeper into Sheol and allow yourself to be cut off because you're angry that you were walking on a darker path? Or are you going to continue to cry out and find that there is a good God waiting?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. One, what I kind of think through too when I'm reading through the psalm is, like, I've had moments that are maybe not this dark, but I've had, you know, my dark moments. And it's usually later when I'm out of it, or years later sometimes, where I'm able to look back on it and be like, oh, that's what God's plan was. That's the thing I learned. That's the door that God was closing to open up something else, or to help me let go of something that I was holding too tightly. Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes it's just like, those were the terrible circumstances of life. Like, death is just terrible. Like, it's not, there's not necessarily reason for it. But in retrospect, I'm usually able to better process these things in the moment.
Yeah.
And that helps me when I'm in difficult moments as I move forward. It helps me have more grace for myself. Because sometimes I get down on myself of like, am I not trusting God enough? Am I not doing this enough? Like, what am I doing wrong that I feel this terrible in this moment? And then I'm like, you know what? I've been through moments like this in the past, and I've seen what God has done later. So I don't have to understand it now.
Yeah.
I can understand it later. I can trust that I will understand it later, or I can just trust that I'll feel better later. I'll be in a better circumstance later. And even if I don't understand what just happened.
Or never do.
Yeah, or never do. There's a few of those too in my life, you know? Like, there are some people who have died suddenly in life that's like, that never made sense. Like, that just always sucked.
So, you've heard my testimony.
Yeah.
The individual who accepted Christ with me, Jason, is the person who committed suicide later. So this is the element. This is this truly lost feeling. And in struggling with this, in trying to, like, grasp my, medication that he was, you know, prescribed that didn't, was not, had depression as part of it. And really, like, there's a whole lot wrapped up into how this happened. But I'm just really struggling, really, really struggling with this. And my friend was so lost, and I wasn't able to be there for him. He was still in the military. I wasn't. Like, you know, he probably, maybe he felt abandoned by me because I had gone and like, it was now in a different state and we weren't able to talk as much. Did I have a part of that? Like I, you know, just all this self blame and doubt and scarce and worry, et cetera. And this is one that there was no answer to me. I don't have an answer, but I was told something by a very good friend that I grasp with both hands and continue to grasp to this day. Because I think it really speaks to an element of it. And there's a friend, Larson, who is also a believer, and I love him to pieces. He said, sometimes it feels like the devil has won. And the thing we need to remember in this moment is that in his victory over Jason in that moment, he lost.
Yeah.
And I went, okay.
Yeah.
Still hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Still sucks.
Yep.
Still wish my friend was here.
Yeah.
But he lost.
Yeah.
Satan lost. Because Jason had a moment before with Christ.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes that's enough.
Yeah. And I think that's an important point too of like, even if you get past a moment like this where you can look back and see that God did something or God healed something or taught someone something or provided something, that doesn't have to take away the pain of that situation. It's not like, oh, I learned something, so now I'm happy about it. Like, I'm glad I went through this struggle. You don't ever have to be grateful for your struggle.
Yeah.
You can be grateful for the things that you learned from it, but that doesn't mean you have to be grateful for the pain of it.
That's a good point, man.
The pain is pain. And we don't have to ever enjoy it. We can be thankful for other things around it. We can be thankful for God's faithfulness through it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be like, oh, the pain was worth it. The pain never has to feel worth it.
Yeah.
But you can appreciate other things that surround it. Mm. Just because something is painful doesn't mean you're unfaithful.
Yeah.
Like, pain is pain. Like, I always think of, is it John 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead.
Mm.
And right before Jesus raises Lazarus, he weeps. Mm. And it's like, Jesus knows better than anyone that everything's going to be okay. Yeah. He knows better than anyone that he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he still weeps. He still, and scholars debate why was Jesus in pain in that moment. Who cares? He was in pain, and he expressed it. And that, to me, like, that moment combined with Psalm 88, for me, is just so much biblical permission to feel your pain, instead of just glossing over it with those platitudes.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. We can struggle through it, and we can ask the questions of God, where are you? Like, I don't feel you in this moment.
Yeah.
That's a deeply relational thing.
Yeah.
Like, to tell God that, like, God, show up. I want you here. That's a relational thing, because you're saying, I want your presence. I don't want to feel alone. I don't want to feel separated from you, but I do right now. It's a very human thing to feel, and that's okay to feel that. We don't have to feel all the time like we're buddy-buddy with God.
Yeah.
Like, it's not always going to feel like that, because life is just hard.
No, 100%. I love the point. I love the point in and we may have already talked about this, but like, the truth in that sharing the gospel is sometimes just crying with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Just holding someone.
Yep.
A counseling class I took recently, we had to watch someone do counseling.
Oh.
So yeah. I was judging someone's counseling ability, like, clipboard. But the one point that I made that I think was actually beneficial was, I was like, dude, you got to stand up and get over there.
Yeah.
Like, go walk to them. Go be with them. You I understand this is all fake and we're pretending and like, but like, they were giving you, I'm desperate and I'm sad. And
yeah.
You were giving them like, well, let's look into blah, blah, blah about
right.
that. And I was like, I kind of hated that you never reached a hand out and put it on her shoulder.
Yeah.
And said like, I'm here or something like that. And I've been just watching this, like, young man go, super good point, I'm gonna apply that. Was like, oh great, a lesson that I have learned is actually beneficial. But like, that is such an important part of telling the gospel.
Yeah.
It like,
just being present with people.
Yes. I don't care what you know until I know that you care.
Yeah.
And I've said that a million times too, but that's true. If we don't show them the love that God has given us, if it doesn't bubble out of us and like become a part of how we respond to people in this moment, we just are with them and grieving with them and loving them, because that's what he did for us when we were in those lost moments.
Yeah.
They're not going to care when we go, and also, Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. They're just not going to care.
Yeah.
I end every lesson with the youth with, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like really important to me. Yeah. Because I care deeply, not because we're best friends, not because I've been here for 5 years and I watched you grow up. I've been here for 2 months, but the God who loves me sent me to you, and he has loved me so thoroughly and so well that I love you,
yeah.
That I want that for you, that I desire you to feel the love he gave me shining through.
Yeah.
So important. And like, these are the moments. These are the moments when we really have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have taken some of those moments as a body of believers so often and been like, and you're fine. And it's like,
let's get over it. Let's move on.
So squandered.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder people don't, like, you know, want to be involved in the church in North America. Church is growing.
Yeah.
It's not growing here. It's growing in Africa. It's growing in South America. It's growing in other places. In countries and places where people have learned this lesson and are reaching out to each other, trying to help each other.
Yeah.
In countries and places where we have sent aid and individuals to show God's love. And then in our own country where we haven't been doing that as much, surprise, surprise, people aren't as in.
Yeah.
Not that we're not doing, I mean, like, loaves and fishes, things that, like, we're doing in our neighborhoods that we're, like, trying. We're rebuilding this muscle. We are. And I really think that there's a revitalization and a movement of individuals in our, like, church who are trying to push that narrative and saying, like, you need to be the hands and feet of Jesus first.
Yeah.
But this is the moment. This is bread and butter. This is the time when you walk in and say, I want to be like Christ to you and cry with you.
Yeah. And I think this is a great area or spot to kind of end with. And the last thing I think I'll just say is that if you're in this moment of the Psalm 88 moment and you're struggling and you feel like there's no hope, please reach out to someone.
Yeah.
Whether it's one of us or another person on staff or a family member, a friend member, please do not feel like you have to do things alone.
Yeah.
Like that's, I know it's, I've done this plenty enough to make excuses for why I'm not reaching out in different circumstances. And that's never been good for me. I've always, every single time that I've reached out for help, that has been a good thing for me to do.
Yeah.
It's maybe not gone quite the way I anticipated or hoped, but it's always been a good thing for me to do, to not go through my circumstances alone.
Yeah. It's the second half of the statement. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
By that I mean, I'm not judging, I'm not caring. There is literally nothing you can do to stop me from loving you because God loved me first.
Yeah.
And like, 100%. I'm begging you to reach out if you're in that lost place because you can't, it just doesn't go as well if you're on your own. And we, as a body of believers, as staff in the church, etc., we desire very much to help you be through, get walk through that.
Yeah.
Most of us, because we've been there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Joey, for joining us today, and thank you all for watching or for listening. We hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.
Do you mind if we, can we close it in prayer real
quick? Oh, of course we can.
Let's close it in prayer and just pray for people who are in that moment.
Absolutely.
Dearly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for who you are, that you are a good God who loves us and who is with us in the darkest and deepest and saddest moments of our lives. That you do not desire for anyone to be lost, that you do not desire for our pain, and that you instead came into our world and experienced our pain so that we might see you. God, you told us to go out and disciples, and I am a firm believer in the truth that part of that is stepping into the pain with others that they might see you. God, for those who are in the midst of the sad moments, Lord, send someone to be with them, to cry with them, to hold them, to let them know that they are loved by you. God, send me. Send me. Send those like me, please. I beg you.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for these words. We just thank you that we have the permission to feel what we feel and to acknowledge the hardships of life. Because when we acknowledge the hardships of life, we acknowledge our need for you. And that need is never ending. So God, I just pray that our pain is something that points us to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for joining us, and let us know how we can support you. Have a wonderful and blessed day.